Thank you very much, Indian. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Translation and Transliteration PDP Working Group call on the 12th of June 2014. On the call today, we have Marc Blanchet, Peter Green, Petter Reinforth, Rudy Vansnick, Wanawit Akuputra, Chris Dillon, Ubul Tipsitakaset, Pitinan Kwamonpatana, Jennifer Chung, Peter Dernbar, and Mesa Chaya Pim Siwat. We have received no apology for today's call. And from staff, we have Julie Headland, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Matthew Peregrine. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Chris.
Thank you very much indeed. Let's start with the compulsory number three on the agenda, and that's just the statements of interest. So I have to ask whether there has been any change in statements of interest since we last met. Seeing and hearing nothing, that means we can continue, and that takes us into responses from the SOs and ACs. We haven't had any new responses recently, so I think we can leave that. Now, later on in the call, there will be a briefing on the study to evaluate available solutions for the submission and display of internationalized contact data, but that won't be, I think, until past or somewhere around then. So we might as well just work through the other parts of the agenda before they join us. That brings us to the we've got the work plan on the that's really good to have that on the screen. And I think we've got a little bit of time to think about this, and with two major questions, I would say. So one of them is, my general feeling is that we have slipped, that the timeline has slipped slightly, but I think we need to be saying, is this still realistic? So are we likely to finish in December this year? I think that's certainly one question I think we should consider. I wonder if anybody has any comments on that. Seeing no comments, I would like to suggest that although we perhaps have had some delay, that we should still try and keep to that deadline. Now, specifically, one of the issues is that although we wanted to receive comments from the registrar stakeholder group, they haven't actually got back to us, and certainly, I am concerned that could cause delay at some point. Petter, would you like to pick up something there?
Yeah, sorry, I'm just checking out the agenda during the summer here, July and August, just a suggestion, if it's possible. I see that there are a lot of meetings noted as continued review or comments received.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could at least shorten that with one or two meetings to get on time again and try to be more efficient on the meetings when we review the comments. And perhaps even if we have weekly meetings, and I should not say that because I haven't been so active in between the meetings, but it may be also good to try to my comments and discussions online by email and so between the meetings, so that we can prepare a summarize where we are on the phone calls.
Thank you very much for that. That's very, you know, that's more or less exactly what I feel about this. You know, certainly there are quite a few meetings there. Historically, we've cancelled the odd meeting now and then. So to some extent, I think that may continue. But that's really why, one of the reasons why I'm thinking that. Although there has, although perhaps the is a small delay now, there may be additional delay conceivably, but I think we probably still are on schedule. Let us hope so. Now, leaving that aside for a moment, the other big question is what people sometimes refer to as the dog that didn't bark. So I'm sort of, I mean, I've already mentioned that we've got one stakeholder group that ideally we would have liked to have had comments from. But I'm sort of just thinking, are the things we're missing here? Is this actually complete? And that's I think that's quite an important thing because... it's quite easy to talk about the things that are raised in specific documents, but every now and then it's just quite good to stand back and think, now, is there anything we are missing here? I don't know whether anybody spotted anything, but I thought I would like to you know, just to bring that up, and actually not just about the work plan, that's quite a general issue. Well, okay, seeing nothing, then I think perhaps let me encourage you to think like that, generally, and as I say, not just about the work plan, and let me just ask whether there are any other comments about it, or I think this is almost certainly something we will actively visit during the London meeting, but... just before we let it go, is there any other aspect that anybody would like to pick up? Okay, let's leave this one till London. And as I say, I'm pretty sure that we will revisit it at length during that meeting. Okay, so that then brings us down into any other business, in fact, because we're going to come back to the responses at the end. So any other business is going to be the, well, there are also some actions so we can work through those, but any other business, at some point we need to talk about, Julia's actually saying in the chat, and the other thing we do need to talk about is the slide update, so we'll, if it's possible to load those, that would be really good. But I think we also need to talk about London, the London meeting generally. I'll just put that on the table for a moment. Whether there's any, I mean, obviously there's been some discussion about some aspects of the London meeting, but it's just whether anybody wants to raise anything that we haven't already spoken about. Okay, well, in that case, I will just... yeah, I do have the slides loaded up. It's a horribly long URL, but I will paste it into the chat room now. Okay. Hope that works. Back. Yep. Yes, that is fine. So I'll just wait for a moment so that you can open that either in another tab in your browser, or I think sometimes preferably in another browser altogether, because then it just makes it easier to look at the chat room and to look at the presentation at the same time. Okay, I'm fairly sure I have spotted something in this, which I didn't spot when I first read it, but I'm just wondering what the easiest way of doing this is going to be. I'll talk through the slides. I think that's probably easiest. So we have a slide on why is the PDP important. So this is the continued internationalization of the domain name system, need to allow for standardized query of internationalized registration data, ongoing reforms of GTLD directory services, makes the need to establish GNSO policy. Now, what I will say when giving the slide, when I give it to public audiences, not to technical audiences, but to a public audience, I would be also stressing that a lot of information which is currently available either in English or in ASCII may not be available in the future. So I will stress that actually as I do this slide. Then if we have a look at the next one, we've got just something on the history of the working group, and then we've the input request. Then feasibility study on transformation of contact information, and then the fact that we are systematically monitoring other efforts in this area. That we know about. Now, this is the bit which I think got forgotten. So I meant to stress that we keep everything in our wiki, because we do. I mean, all the documents are there. Everything we've created, everything we've received, it's systematically there. So I think that's an additional point that's worth making, if not on this slide, but on one of the slides. Then if we perhaps go down into next steps, we've got the fact that we're reviewing the feedback using the tool, and that we're providing updates, which is actually what I will be doing as I give this presentation. Julie is asking in the chat, could we add it on next steps? Yes, and certainly include the link to the wiki, because the reason I stress it is that I think some groups are possibly not as systematic as we've been, and so people just looking at what the groups are doing feel quite overwhelmed, because they feel that they have to really go into a lot of detail, whereas we have systematically go through calls, go through transcripts, heaven knows what, whereas we have been very, very systematic, and as far as I know, there isn't anything that isn't in there. So actually it does mean that we're more welcoming for people just who haven't been involved so far and are just interested in what we're doing. But yes, I think that would work nicely. And we then get a sort of rather colourful slide, I think. And that is then, and then what follows is the rather more detailed information. And we've got the repetition of the main charter questions, links to the charter. Here's the wiki. I just forgotten that there was a link here. Maybe we just get away with if I stress that absolutely everything's in there. Maybe that's all we need to do. Okay. And then we've got the issue report there. Then we've got background. Yeah, okay, which is actually quite technical. Requests and content returned by DNRDS, like who is. Coded using ASCII. No standards for who is implementations to support other character sets. Yes, okay, this is really what I was thinking. And it is anticipated that a new domain name registration data service may not be ASCII-centric. Yeah, okay. That's some of the stuff I was saying earlier. Then we've got definitions of translation and transliteration. Slightly wondering whether we should put something on transcription on this slide. That could be another one, because I think in practice, it's it is a word that's used, but it's phonetic based, so that might be a question that we could ask later on, actually, about to what extent transcription could play a role. I think we've largely talked about translation and transliteration. Oh yeah, okay. Julie is making the point that because we are quoting the issues report, we can't really do that, which is probably not a big problem, but it's still a good question. Okay, and then more stuff on the background here, which is the definitions of contact information. Yeah, and Julie is just typing that we just need to be prepared for that if it comes up. So, take a few notes during the next presentation. And what contact information includes. And then specification of data elements by the RAA, but no necessity for those to be transformed. Oh, and that's actually the end of the presentation. Okay. Right. Again, any dogs that didn't bark, is there anything that should be in that presentation that we haven't put there? I really honestly can't think of anything, but I think we're very close to a final version there, and it is the case also that I think sometimes when giving a presentation, it's actually quite good to hold some small thing back, because otherwise you've got to be able to talk about it. So I was very keen to give a sort of a general background thing, because one of the presentations I gave in Singapore, I really had the impression that there was an audience that didn't really understand the presentation because there wasn't background information. But I think we've fixed that problem now. Jim, would you like to say something about that?
Thank you. Just in the category of, this is Jim Galvin for the transcript. In the category of whether there's something else to add to the presentation or not, I'm wondering if, since we mentioned the GTLD Directory Services Group, is there some value in pointing out that there's additional work going on in the Internationalized Registration Data Expert Working Group too? And just at least indicating that you're aware of that work and what's going on there.
That's a good improvement. I mean, you hope anybody requiring further information will go to the wiki. But yes, you're right. I mean, it's good to put the major things in here. But yes, I think that's a good improvement. Okay. So if we just... Okay, yes, so that's... yeah, so Julie's just replying to that in the chat, so that should be fine. Okay, anything else about this? Jim, I think you've probably got your hand up, but if you would like to say something, that's also fine. Yep, okay. Right, now, what else have we got on here, I think? Now, one thing we could do, but I'm just wondering whether we've got enough time for this, is that I know that Jim has some questions about some of the parts of the review tool. I don't know whether, Jim, you would be interested in asking those now. I mean, the only slight issue is that we might need to get the review tool up on the screen to be able to do that. But, Jim, would you like to do that now?
I have to be honest. I confess I'm really not sure. I don't remember what questions I had or that I actually had.
Well, the good thing is that I'm like an elephant on things like this. I think it's number 39. If we go all the way down there, I think the number 39, and it's actually something from the TIGAC representative, but I seem to remember I have a note that you weren't very sure about it. Looking at that.
Yes. Thank you. So I remember the question that I was asking at the time was more in the context of sometimes when you get a comment back, you understand the comment because you know the community, and so you kind of expected them to say, you know, what it was that they said. And I was a little bit struck by the fact that I didn't at least expect, you know, the TIGAC representative to say what they said here. And my question was really, do we have any additional context to go with their position? And you know, is there, what else is in the background here that would help us to understand why it is that they have this particular position?
Thank you very much. I don't know. I think we've got at least one Thai representative on the call, Pityman, and somebody else who has a name which might be Thai. I wonder if either... Oh, no, Pityman is writing something, so let's just wait a moment. Okay, yes, Pityman is definitely doing something in the chat.
Hello?
Hi. Hello, Pityman. Yes, we can hear you.
Hi. I'm Pityman for the TypeScript. Sorry, Jim, could you probably ask again specifically what make you wonder about the position?
So, yes, this is Jim Galvin for the transcript. I was struck by the suggestion from the Thai representative that the registrant should bear the cost of converting to a common language. And that stood out for me because, at least so far, you know, conventional preference has been in the direction of that the registrant should only have to, you know, work within the language that they are most skilled at and that they know and have. And, you know, Thailand is also, you know, one of those countries with a language which is pretty far removed from U.S. ASCII as compared to other languages. and so it struck me that they would choose that kind of suggestion, and I just wondered if there was some additional information that might be helpful in this discussion to understanding why it is they would suggest something like that. I mean,
right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. I would say this position is the background of this is given that they should have the common, the local single point to validate and do the trusting of the contact information, which is if that is one of the slides in the wiki that we proposed in the Apricot earlier, a few months ago, that we see that it's the government role to facilitate this kind of infrastructure to happen in each country. The idea is, given that we have the single point to validate the contact address, either validation and transform to from Thai to English, then it kind of makes sense that the registrar will be the one to do the validation, and the registrant will be the one who bear the cost for translation, which should happen only once. This will make much more sense if there is one, but there is the accredited ICANN contact information center for each country. Does that answer your question?
So, thank you. That's helpful. It answers part of the questions that I'm asking. Let me make sure I understand what you were saying. You started with the premise that if there's to be a common language, then you were going down the path that the registrant should have the burden of doing the translation or transliteration of the contact information. So let me expand my question a bit. First, let me ask if did I summarize that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
But this will give it that you have to do only once, right? Because you don't change your name that often. So the first time you register to any domain name registrar, you already done the translation. And that English information will be held we will call it contact information system for Thailand. We are setting it up, actually. So this contact information system is the place, is the center that you can register your English name, English information, and let the registrar or any other entities to come and check. So for us, the registrar will translate only once.
So this is essentially supporting rather strongly the proposal from the Directory Services Expert Working Group. They have a rather complete validation ecosystem, if you will, that they're proposing, which in particular conceptually has, you know, a database of validated contact information and whatever other elements need to be there. So if I understand correctly, you're suggesting that assuming that such a system is to come into place, then this kind of translation, transliteration, only needs to happen once. And if it's in this convenient database, then you know, that one-time cost is most conveniently or most practically something that the registrant should be responsible for. Correct?
Right, correct.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Jim, just before we move on, Was that the only question you had about the document, or was there anything else?
Well, thank you for pointing out to me that it was item 39, because then I was reminded immediately of the question. And no, nothing else jumps out at me here that I remember as a question that I had. So hopefully that's it. If it comes back to me, I'll jump in. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. I've been remembering the number 39 for a couple of meetings, so it's good to get that sorted out. And thank you very much, Pitinan, as well. Okay, well, we're now going to go back to item 4, and we have the presentation on the study. So we're all very much looking forward to that.
And Chris, this is Julie. I don't know if Steve Sheng has been able to join. He was having some network difficulties. And then, Steve, are you on the call? Natalie, do you know if he's joined? Then Steve has asked if Mark Blanchet could do the slides, and I'd be happy to run them for you, Mark. Would you be able to do that, give the presentation?
Sure. Do you hear me?
Hear you loud and clear.
Indeed. Thank you very much.
So shall I start?
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you. Maybe go back to first. So we were commissioned to study the available solutions and to evaluate the available solutions for submission and display of internationalized contact data. The study team it can be reached at the email address there. The study team comprises a few of my colleagues. And we were more on the technical side of the study, and Sarmad Hussain was most on the linguistic part of the study. Next slide. So it's internationalized restriction data has been discussed in various places. The study we were trying to do was to documents on current practices and transformation possibilities that could be used for the various working groups within ICANN, such as yours. We looked at the practices of handling the registration data. We did a survey of registries and registrars. We looked at various electronic merchants services, the protocol specifications to see if there's missing pieces. And we actually exercise tools, some tools that are available, both commercial and either commercial as a shrink wrap software, or commercial or proprietary as an API or public domain. And we actually created many test cases in different languages and exercise those tools to see what's the actual output and verify the accuracy of the output. Next slide. Oh, I'm not sure. Okay.
Sorry about that. I don't know why this is acting so strange. You did say next slide. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm at slide 3.
Excellent.
As you know, there is roughly two categories of data. One is the contact data and one is transactional. We obviously look at the contact data, which is more related to the local language and script that the user or the restaurant is using. So, person, organization, name, address, city, state, country. Next slide. Slide 4. I think I'll skip this because everybody is talking about this. So we, in the report that has been sent for public review like a week ago, I highly suggest that you look at it. We provided some definitions, and sometimes we talk about transformation in a sense of any kind of transformation, either translation, or transliteration, or transcription of any kind. That's where we use a general term transformation, where in some other places we specifically say something about one method, either translation or transliteration, for example. Next slide. We kind of try to define levels of transformation that is within the study background information used, because obviously depending on your needs, you're being the person who is looking for the data, then you may require, some kind of accurate transformation, which means, it's really need to be valid, legally and all that stuff, matching to legal environments. A consistent meaning that it will always be the same way. While it may not be accurate, it is consistent transformation. And ad hoc is more like, the basic transformation, I would say. Next slide six. There's ways that you could, I'm not sure how to say it in English, but pivoting for transliteration from all languages to all languages, that has been also looked at. So, for example, from French to Thai, or from Chinese to Arabic, and United Nations, we looked at some studies of United Nations, and what they suggested or recommended was to use a Romance script as a pivot to go from one language to another. However, the study found that it's on theory, on paper, it looks just fine, but in practice, it's very, very difficult to have this pivoting function really working well. Next slide, slide seven. So we surveyed a few e-merchants. It's pretty large. You could spend a whole year in surveying these. But can you move to slide eight, please? The merchants were in different that we reviewed were in different languages and scripts. Sometimes global, sometimes more local, but roughly they allow the data to be put in the local languages or scripts. They usually verify the contact data in a very limited extent. They essentially just accept the user input, and the problem is for the user to make sure that he actually put the right information. And that happens even in for merchant sites that are active in markets where they don't support the dominant script or language use. For example, US merchant that is selling to Arabic people and support Arabic entry of data while it's not their primary market. Next slide, nine. We also did a survey of registries and registrars, a separate survey, so we were trying to see what's the current practice in this field. We got 12 registries responded, not a bad sample, but obviously not all the registries, and the registrar a survey was actually responded by only two registrars. We made some significant effort to get this, get all our contacts and people to respond. But um, so conclusions should be, you know, there is good data there, but need to be careful in assuming that what happens in the overall market. But, so large registries, just a minute, registries, large GTLDs and CCTLDs covering multiple languages and scripts, such as Arabic and Cyrillic, Japanese, German, French, and English. So that is actually a pretty good sample. The registrar survey, only one very large registrar, very well known, so this by itself is actually very good. The other one is more a local one. So, you know, that gives us some good idea, but obviously not a full-blown statistical survey. Next slide, Ken. You have almost... in the report, you have all the survey questions kind of summarized, but you have a lot of details in the survey. So, please look at it for additional information. One of the key results, I think, could be said is that none of all the registrar and registries that we got from information from them actually transformed the contact information. And so whenever there's multiple language data collected, then it's always provided by the registrant. So I think that's the main thing. And the other thing is none actually verify any data that they received. Next slide. 11. We surveyed relevant protocols. Obviously, as you know, WIS is only supporting ASCII. And so LPP supports UTF-8 encoding for transmitting and receiving data, obviously, but without a language specification. And doesn't have the... we're talking here about the standard track RFCs and does not record multiple linguistic versions of the same data. RDAP, however, can encode language information and can handle multiple versions of in parallel. So if we're talking about EPP here, then if people are actually, so later in the report at the end of the findings, if people want to look into going into automatic transformation of contact data, then one of the to augment the accuracy of the transformation, the more the language, the strings are tagged with language details, and there's more than just a language tag, the more there's data about the string itself, the origin of the string, the better chances for a better transformation. Therefore, this has impact on the whole chain of getting the data from the user up to, you know, to registry store and then to the display through RDAP or other means. So keep this in mind. Next slide, 12. I'm not sure. Thanks. This slide transformation actually talks about the testing we did. And you will see in the next slide the details, but roughly we have created test data including individual or entity names, including family, given names, organization names, addresses, abbreviations, all kind of stuff, city, province, state names, country names, and full or short forms, in multiple languages and scripts, such as An, Devanagari, Arabic, and in some cases multiple languages using the script, and Cyrillic. Next slide. 13. So this is the testing data that we took, and they were provided by either they were all provided by people that know well the language, or either linguistic experts or native speakers. And one of the things that we did was actually after transformation of exercising the different tools that we used, then the same person who provided the test data actually verified by his eyes the results of the transformed data, and then was able to qualify if the output was accurate or not and the level of accuracy of the output. So, for example, therefore the whole process was handled by linguistic persons from the source to the transformed data and the matching between the two. So next slide. So as you know, you could see that from the previous slide that you know there's a good set of test data, but again it certainly not a full blown linguistic study, I would say. However, and the interesting part also is that we focused on the registration data. We didn't try to, look at, generic transformation of, languages and scripts and text in general, which has pros and cons because there's, for addresses and names and stuff, you don't have a lot of context, so it's sometimes more difficult to translate or transliterate. We provided a few measures, two that I would like to talk about, and you will see the results later, is accuracy, which is essentially a binary measure of if the transform data compared to what we call goal reference, which is essentially the right way to transform it from a linguistic perspective. So when the tool provided the exact same transformed data as the linguistic expert would provide, then it's 100%. The thing that we did was actually that the linguistic expert that was looking at the transformed data was still able, the exact match was not necessarily on the code point level, but on the linguistic level. Therefore, two valid variations of the same transformed data would have a 100% accuracy. So that's the accuracy measure. The second is the Levenstein distance. So this is the number, it's a well-known measure in linguistic environment for transformation of the linguistic data. Levenstein distance is a non-binary, and it's the number of edits, insertion, deletion, and substitution between two strings. So here's an example in Russian, and well, you see that, for example, if the transformation, the appropriate transformation of the word in Cyrillic Russian in transliteration is VELYOV. However, so this is the accurate transformation by a linguistic expert. But the transformation tool provides VIEL'OV, then the Levenstein distance is 2, meaning that there's 2 changes, which is delete the I and substitute the apostrophe with the Y to go back to the goal reference, the right transform data. So for this transformation, the result is a Levenstein distance of 2. So the lower the Levenstein distance is, the better it is because it has less number of transformation. However, on the accuracy side, the higher it is, the better it is. So the maximum distance of Levenstein is obviously the length of the longer string. So the best is zero. So in the study, because the words have a different number of characters, you cannot use the actual value of the Levenstein distance because it actually depends on the length of the word. Therefore, we normalize from 0 to 100%. 100% in the study, 100% Levenstein distance means that the whole string is completely different, right? Whatever the length of the string, 100% means, you know, it's all different. There's no correlation between the expected transform data and the string that you get from the tool. If you think about 50% of Levenstein distance, that means that 50% normalized of the 50% of the string has been changed. Is changed from the expected output. Slide 15. This is a list. I think there's a few slides of various transition tools that we looked at. I think 15, go slide 16. And so either general or specific transliteration or transformation tools. So, and obviously there are more. So we contacted most of them, trying to get access to their software or their API by some means. Some of them offered us to actually submit our data to them, and they will provide the answer. And then we refused because we were not able to control exactly what was happening. Not that we didn't trust them, but. So we only took the tools that we were able to exercise by ourselves and look at the results. For the purpose of, careful, on legal or other means, we didn't disclose the tools that we used because it may have some implications. So. They are essentially anonymized. Next slide, 18. So you will see a few slides of transformation a summary of transformation. You have all the details in the study. The first one on page 18 is the Levenstein distance normalized in percentage across all tools that we tested. So, for example, if you look at the first row, that says for name, so for the name category, for Han, the average of all the tools that we exercise had a Levenstein distance of 26%, which means that roughly a quarter, one every four characters, is wrong or changed from the expected output. And then you have all the numbers for all the different languages and all the categories. If you look at the last column, which is the average across tools and across languages, then you see that it's, between 29 to 50%. So 50% meaning that half of the string is essentially wrong. From the transformation of the data compared to the expected transformation made by a linguistic expert. And remember that the linguistic expert actually reviewed with his linguistic eyes of the output of the transformed data by the tools, which means if the tool actually provided a different but okay transformed data, then the Levenstein data was zero, meaning that there was some judgment from and leeway from the linguistic expert to make sure that the score was not bad just because there was a variation in one way to encode a character, but was also valid. So if we were doing really straight comparison, would be worse. But so this is giving you know, the best chance for the tools to provide good results. Next slide, page 19. So this is an example. Okay, across all languages. So here's some example of the type of. So this is kind of a show that depending on the type of tool or the type of transformation, then you may have better or worse results. And it actually depends also on the type of data, input data. If it's a name or country name or address, the results are different if it's transliterated or translated. So there is a lot of variations depending on the actual, you know, the set, the matrix of consideration. So either the category of the data, if it the method is translated, transliteration or translation, the type of language, because depending on the language or script, there are scripts that are really are transformed badly more. For example, transliteration of Arabic is not good because the language itself has not that many vowels, and therefore when translated to Latin, it actually loses a lot of things. He actually had a colleague who is an Arabic native, and he was not able, that person was not able to read the transformed data. It has no sense to that person by all the tools, just because all the diacritics that was used by the transformation of the data, transliteration of data by the tools were all, you know, make no sense for the actual user. So back to the results. So accuracy, page 19. So accuracy of, so remember that accuracy is kind of binary measure if it actually provides a, you know, one-to-one relationship. As you could see, for all kind of contact information, for all across languages, you see a very different accuracy, average accuracy, which is around 60% for translation compared to 16%, which is very low. Remember the accuracy, you know, 100% accuracy is the best. So as you see, overall, translation is more accurate, you know, typically. However, the lever, well, another result is the average of Levenstein distance on the transliteration part, you know, all languages and all contact information altogether average, transliteration gives 53% of average of Levenstein distance, which means that on average for all categories, all languages, there is half of the strings that are essentially, half of the string is wrong. And in translation, it's still almost 40%. Next slide. Obviously, this is a very summarized tables. The good part of summary is you get a feeling. However, you will see in the report that depending on, as I said, the category of data or the language or the method, you will see a large variation of percentages. So that means that you may be more lucky using, not I would say lucky, but you could have better results with one set of conditions and very bad results with another set of conditions. Some findings of our study. The following information is needed for transformation: the current language and script, method of obtaining current data. So back to what I said before, which is the more information you have from the from where the source come from, then the likelihood to have better transformed data. And moreover, for the transformed data, especially if you want to do reversibility, which we haven't talked too much, but you have a lot of data on reversibility in the study. Well, reversibility meaning that you want to come back to the original string. So you transform to, for you transliterate, for example, to a Latin form, and then you go back to the source string in the native script. Then if the reversibility is there is some data and stuff about this, but don't skip. reversibility, when you want to do the reverse side of the transformation, then for the transformed data to be reversed back to the native, the additional information needs to be recorded, such as the source language, the type of transformation. All this information, if it's kept with the transformed data, that would help to go back to the reverse or the native version of the string. So, again, and obviously, as you see, all this is essentially not, to our knowledge, taken into account in any registry operation at the moment and in protocols and anywhere else. Page 21. And this is kind of the first sentence here says, is written as, one tool may not work for all contact information. Roughly speaking, I would rephrase as, one tool does not work for all contact information. We haven't, you've seen the list of tools. There is obviously more than what we listed, but the one that we tested and none were able to provide a very good, accurate, with no Levenstein distance for all kind of data. For example, there are tools on the market that are related to addresses. They do verification. They do pretty good job in addresses themselves, but then for names and organization names, they are really bad or other stuff. So it's, there's no one that does very well, at least to our knowledge. Transliteration is usable for script with fully specified consonants and vowels, but do not work for script where consonants or vowels are underspecified. An example of this is Arabic, as I said before. Adduct transformation using, for example, translation systems usually give an arbitrary output. It's not really predictable. Therefore, if you go back to the different levels of transformation that we described at the beginning, then translation doesn't fit well in some of those. Translation actually is more readable and independent of the scripts of language pair. Perform better from a end user perspective. But there's a very limited set of language pairs that have automatic translation systems. And any new translation system from a language pair is very challenging. So, for example, if you go from Russian to English for translation, you may find good tools, but if you go from Russian to I'd say Arabic, then it may be very bad because the language pair is not well implemented in tools. And then if you go through a PIVOT system, it's not even necessarily better. Page 22. Consistent, as you see, the difference here is that translation gives a better for human perspective, but transliteration gives more consistent transformation. But then the output may not be usable from a user point of view. Accurate transformation is essentially not possible through automated processes. It requires very manual effort and registrant verification of someone who has understanding of the native language. Pivoting through romanization interest is an interesting possibility to provide local language to local language, but then you're actually doubling the issue of the accuracy that we've seen between with the tools. So that is even more challenging. Next slide. Or I think that's the last one, right? Yep. So again,
thank you very much, Mark.
I could probably, let me, give me a sec, I could probably find, So,
hi Mark, this is Steve. I think we probably need to wrap up here.
Thank you for that, Malk. It was a very, very interesting presentation, and the report is also very, very interesting. I think there are probably several questions. I have at least a couple myself, but we are over time, and so we'll need to do that either on the mailing list. Or in London, I think at this stage, if that's all right, unless there's something very burning.
I put for your information in the chat room the URL of the study. So.
Yes. Thank you very much for that, and I will. I will start a discussion on the mailing list, picking up one or two things soon after the call. Again, many thanks, and thank you all of you for attending today's call, and very much looking forward to seeing many of you in London in a couple of weeks' time.
And Chris, this is Julie. Just to remind everyone, there is no call next Thursday. The next meeting will be in London.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, then.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
See you soon. Bye.
Thank you very much, India. You may now stop the recording. Bye.